We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Prize Picks, $100 match on your first deposit with the promo code LightYears. Welcome to LightYears. There you go. Your $100 match right there. Your $100 match. You put $100 in. Prize Picks like, here's another $100 for you, and just start winning. You know, I'm up right now, so welcome to LightYears. Aaron, it was not a pretty night for the Warriors.
No.
And I should say, sitting in for a guy, Andy, I got Aaron Larsoul across from me. It was not a pretty night for the Warriors, but it was a productive night for the Warriors. I think everything is played correctly for the Warriors, not just the results of the Blazers game, but results across the league. And you know what? They can't all be pretty. I'll take it the way
they can. Yeah, I mean, this is what you want, right? If you want the Kings to fall back, and then their next game is against the Suns. And so if the Suns, who still have something to play for because the Pelicans won, if the Suns are able to handle the Kings, then the 7-8 matchup is in play, and mm-hmm. the ability to avoid Denver in the first round, which is really the key there. Yeah, I mean, it was ugly. It looked like the guys were focused on tomorrow against the Pelicans.
Correct.
Yeah. And the team will tell, right? Like the team told on itself, sitting Draymond and Clay and GP2. So sure. It really looked like everybody was focused on tomorrow. Steph looked like he was kind of going through the motions for most of the night. So, but again, like a win is a win is a win.
And we're getting to it right now. The Sacramento Kings lose to the New Orleans Pelicans, setting up a three-way tie between the Kings, Warriors, and Lakers record-wise right now.
Mm-hmm.
We got a little Warriors-Pelicans tomorrow. We also got a little Kings-Suns tomorrow. And on the other side of that matchup, both those teams are playing for who's going to make the play-in and who's not going to make the play-in. So I would expect all teams across the board to go playoff rotations in that game.
Agree. And then the Lakers have a gimme in Memphis, although the Warriors it was a gimme tonight in Memphis, and then finish the season with the Pelicans. So shout out to the schedule makers who have all of these teams playing each other to end the season, to decide it on the court. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. It could not have played out better for the Warriors tonight, because they have a very realistic shot at getting into that 7-8 game now.
Yeah.
They still need help. They still need help from the Phoenix Suns to beat the Sacramento Kings. They would also need to take care of business against the Pelicans and obviously not trick away the last game against Utah. But,
it seems a little dicier after tonight, right?
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? It's in the cards right now, which, you know, a week ago, you wouldn't have said so. And yeah. So cautious optimism. Things are playing their favor. I think if you looked at it, take away how they looked tonight, even though it was terrible, they still won. Mm-hmm. That's 26-11 over the last 37 for the Warriors. And Sacramento, who's technically at the tiebreaker over them, not technically, they just do. They look the opposite. they look like a team who is holding on for dear life.
Yeah, they're taking a off,
going the opposite direction. Maybe some of it's injuries, you know, losing Herter and Malik Monk, but they do not look like last year's Kings to me. They look like they're trending the complete opposite way.
I have a little pushback. Mm-hmm. I mean, they kind of do look like last year's Kings, and they're probably going to finish with as good or better of a record. It's just the Western Conference is so much better that, and to be fair, they were as healthy as anyone has ever been last year. But you for everybody watching on, hanging out with us on playback or watching on YouTube, you can see the last 10, the Warriors are 9-1 in their last 10 and the Kings are 4-6. So the Warriors have been able to make up five games to tie the Kings. Obviously the Kings still have the tiebreaker, but yeah. I think that's kind of what's wild about all of this is I think the Warriors are better than they were last year. I think the Lakers are better than they were last year. I think the Kings are about the same and their record is going to be, but they were the 3 seed last year and are going to be the 8 seed, the 9 seed this year.
How important do you think it is for the Warriors to get that 7-8 seed?
To get in the 7-8 game? I think it is really important. And the reason I think it is really important is because I think the Warriors are somewhere between can beat anyone, or maybe I would pick them against anyone other than the Nuggets. And right now it looks like the Nuggets are going to get. Yeah, obviously the two chances to win one game matters also.
Sure.
But I think the biggest benefit of the 7-8 game as it relates to this season is avoiding the Nuggets.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you there. Minnesota's had an excellent season, but until I see them do what Denver did last playoffs, like I'm not going to give them that level of respect. I like the Warriors chances against a Minnesota team if they get there. You know,
oh, I do too. Or OKC.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're tied. The two of them are tied, you know, 2-3. Yeah.
I'd agree. But let's stick to the picture here. This is a game very interesting for the Warriors. I mean, they got the Pelicans tomorrow night. It did feel like they were looking ahead tonight. It did really feel
very much so. Yeah, I mean, it seems like BI is not going to play tomorrow and is going to play, wait until the last game of the season to play. Mm-hmm. Zion was out for a little bit today with a wrist thing, although he came back and played pretty well. CJ McCollum made a million threes. So I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to see who has, obviously playing at home, you would think theoretically would help the Warriors, although the Warriors have farther to travel to San Francisco than the Pelicans do. You would think it's been a home game would be beneficial for the back-to-back. However, the Warriors have clearly been better on the road than they have been at home. If the Warriors were looking ahead to tomorrow, then you have to pay it off with the full effort. And let's see what you know, sitting GP2 and Draymond and Clay does for their legs and their wind and for Draymond's force of will, let's call it.
Yeah.
I think the Warriors, I haven't looked at any lines yet, but I think the Warriors probably should be favored tomorrow.
Yeah. It is at home. They sat some key veterans who we know are a little banged up. But let's put it this way. If this was if the Pelicans were playing on the front end, I don't think those guys would be sitting. I'll put that.
Agree. Yeah, I agree.
So you can now win up to 100x your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You could turn $10 into $1,000 on NBA, NHL, whatever it may be. On Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy app. Whether it's tournament season or a fight for the playoff home court, definitely play for playoff home court. There's no shortage of high stakes basketball moments this year to get on your excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. You guys know I play this all the time. Steph has made me a lot of money over the years, and he's made me like 8 times as much money playing lines this season. I know when he's tired. I know when I should maybe play another player. And I know when he's got that look in his eyes and I should put it all on number 30. And you know, when he's got that look in his eyes, I'm always going to put it all on number 30. So download the app today. Use the promo code LIGHTYEARS for your first deposit. Match up to $100. That's right. You put 100 in, Prize Picks will put an additional 100 in for you with the promo code LIGHTYEARS. Let's talk about tonight's game a little bit, okay?
Okay, yep.
I mean, just let's start with the overarching take on it, which was the most predictable trap game of all time. The Warriors came out flat. At some point in the fourth quarter, I want to say at the eight-minute mark, I was like, oh, no, they're going to lose. They're going to lose. But this is not last year's Warriors team. They were able to tighten up enough. And I want to start with giving credit to Looney. Looney was the improbable hero of the game for me tonight.
Yeah.
Looney was the player who came in and was like, guys, enough of this bullshit. You know, Steve Kerr gave Dario Saric a run in the first half.
Yes, he did.
Right? Like that's where I knew when Saric came in, I was like, oh, this dude's searching right now. He's searching for anyone to give minutes because they came out completely unserious across the board. And it turned out to be Looney would be the one, made some key defensive plays down the stretch and really was kind of the main guy for them. I don't really know how to discuss it because part of me is disgusted that they would play with their food with this much on the line. And the other part of me is like, I get it. You're sitting three of your key guys with your eyes on the game tomorrow, and you're playing against a bunch of dudes who are playing for contracts. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Who on that Blazers team, aside from Scoot and DeAndre Ayton, knows they're going to be in the NBA next year?
None of them. But going along with that, you're right. I mean, these aren't even real like G League guys. These are like backup G League guys that Portland's playing. And so
it's
you're
like that.
Right.
It's like that Netflix show. What was it?
Somebody getting a last chance. You.
Yeah, last chance. You. Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, you're right. But when I was watching the game, especially defensively, the Blazers were so discombobulated and just had no idea what to do with Steph, that there were so many wide open looks that the Warriors just flubbed. Like that was the scary part for me. It wasn't that, because you're going to get, you know, to your point, guys playing for contracts, you're generally going to get more effort than a Warriors team that is looking forward to tomorrow. But I like the Warriors ran kind of mediocre offense and were getting whatever they wanted and weren't looking for Steph enough. And then Steph, you know, didn't really put his foot on the gas until the fourth quarter. So that was kind of the strange part to me, was like, yeah, you're going to get extra effort from guys that are not, you know, solid NBA guys that are playing for a contract, to your point, but the Blazers didn't even play well. That was like kind of the frustrating, weird, scary part to me. Concerning, I guess, is what I would turn it. But to your point, like, I think Loon, the effort that he came with in particularly the fourth quarter, kind of turned the game around and gave the Warriors some life.
So I feel like the most interesting part of this game is Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know what to take from it because Kuminga was a train wreck the first half.
He was not great.
Turnovers all over the place. More important than the turnovers, he and Wiggins have this propensity to come out like it's a summer league run, you know? Like, I don't know how else to describe it. They come out with this, like, lack of effort that, like, is why Steve Kerr would bench Kuminga all the time, right? Like, no focus on anything other than if the ball's in my hands, that sort of thing. It did get better in the second half of the game.
It did.
But I'm watching this, and I'm just wondering if, like, when the games get more serious, and obviously Draymond's going to be in there, and he should because he's one of the best players, is Kuminga going to end up getting squeezed out of the playoff rotation for Trayce Jackson-Davis? Because that's what it looks like. He's more talented.
Yeah.
He's definitely a better scorer.
Yeah.
You can get to the rim at will. But Trayce is so much more focused on doing the little things. Just, you know, whether it's like just boxing out or, you know, running hard on every possession, like that sort of thing. It's like, I can just see exactly where this is going in the playoffs. And It's tough because they need Kuminga. They need the best version of Kuminga to be a viable playoff team who can get past a couple teams. But also, he can't have – they can't have both him and Wiggins being kind of like, are they going to have energy tonight? Is this going to – like, they need – it's ironic because, like, Pods and Trace – aren't nearly as gifted as those guys, but at no point do you ever worry about those guys' energy. And what they need is like those guys' heads inside of Kuminga and Wiggins, you know?
You know, this felt like confirmation to me because one of the big storylines from, you know, the first half of the year or so, mm-hmm. I mean, basically until the second when Draymond came back from the second suspension and then started, you know, it was a couple games he was coming off the bench and then he started starting. And that was the first time that the Kuminga and Wiggins pairing worked. And right. So we tried it again tonight. Kuminga's been out for a while. Tried it again tonight without Draymond. And you're right. It just didn't work again. You know, like Kuminga's numbers were okay. This, like, the stats are okay.
They look damn good on paper. It's yeah, like classic. Like if you didn't watch the game, you'd be like, what are you talking about? He was +8, 19-6, 7-11. He played well, but.
Right. So I this really felt to me like. And maybe it's like some mojo or juju, or maybe it is something like X's and O's related, although it doesn't feel like that to me defensively, maybe. That Draymond really is the key that unlocks specifically of the lineup with those two, but maybe all of
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
It
I mean,
felt like, it just felt like confirmation of that.
Yeah. It's like 50%. If you've ever watched a Warrior game in person, you'll notice Draymond's telling everyone what to do at all times. That really is one of those things that pops in person more than on TV because you can hear it.
Yeah.
You can see the pointing. The camera doesn't always catch all the stuff. And that's not to say other players don't know what they're doing, but like being able to call it out in real time, he's like Ray Lewis in his prime in terms of just like reading a defense and or reading an offense and figuring out what they'll do. And so that helps a ton another way. The other way is like offensively, he takes a ball out of their hands and kind of turns them more into athletes, which is what they are at their best, right? So it's like you get the ball
and there's less Kuminga and Wiggins off the bounce themselves. Yeah.
I guess it's both of them.
Yeah.
He just makes it so they have to think less.
Yep.
Literally, they can just play. They don't have to think as much on defense. He like basically tells them where to go. And on offense, they can run the court and like, come on, man. You get those guys in space going downhill, like no one's stopping it.
Or a lot of Kuminga in the dunker spot, you know, playing with Dre playing 4-on-3, pocket pass,
exactly,
lob. Yeah. That's a good point. It is. He makes the game more automatic where they can just use their talent as opposed to having to figure out ways to affect the game.
Yeah. And you can always say like, you know, oh, well, what if they simplify the way they play? And it's not changing.
They're not the Warriors.
Yeah. They're playing the way they do. So he's such a necessary piece to everything they do. And in some ways, I still feel like that downplays his impact. It makes it sound like all he is a coach on the floor, like he isn't making impact plays all over the place. But to your point, like
one of the best defensive players on planet Earth.
The best way to describe Draymond is just watch him play without him. You'll notice what's missing. You'll notice what's missing the entire way.
Do you think so? Let's assume, well, tomorrow. Yeah, we can start with tomorrow, but then call it the play-in game. The Draymond, Kuminga, Wiggins, it was Pods and Steph, and then Clay recently replaced Pods and has played well. Mm-hmm. But then now TJD has been starting also. Where do you think, when the chips are actually down, where do you think Steve settles?
I think Steve's going gut. I think it's going to be whoever is rolling a little more that night between Trace and JK. But it's going to be less about scoring and more about who's, you know, getting their nose in there, who's getting dirty, who's doing those things. And so if you were to ask me, I think it's going to be Trace. I really do. Like, I think that's the way he's going to go. I also think we're going to see more Pods than some people want to see in the playoffs because it means they'll be very undersized. But
we can just assume for no good reason that Moses Moody will be back not playing, right?
Oh, I think Moses might get in there too, to be honest.
Oh, all right. I like that. There's no reason he shouldn't.
I mean, it's the same thing as Trace. He's willing to stick his nose in there.
He is.
Get dirty. And he can hit a shot. His shot's been too inconsistent this year to stay in the rotation. Like, part of me gets so frustrated he doesn't play more. And then the other part of me looks at it and is like, dude, what is he, 32% from three on the year? Like,
yeah, I mean, didn't he miss like 12 or 14 in a row? Which I mean, he doesn't have a ton of volume. So if you miss 12 or 14 in a row,
it's such a chicken or the egg thing where you're just like, he has to hit shots. Well, it's hard to hit shots if you don't get to play and every missed shot you get pulled. So
yeah.
That's kind of where we're at with Moses Moody, but I wouldn't be. I mean, Steve played Anthony Lamb over him all of last year and then went to Moses Moody in the playoffs, and it worked, and it was the correct call. I'm not, you know.
I mean, Moses didn't play like the year before the title season, he basically didn't play, and then all of a sudden was starting games in the Western Conference Finals.
In the Dallas series, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see. It's going to be a little more controversial if he doesn't play Kuminga in some of these games, just because Kuminga's had such a breakout year in many ways. Mm-hmm. And he is their second or third most effortless scorer.
Most effortless scorer. Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, Steph. So
yeah, but I know I think Wiggins is the most effortless scorer. It just doesn't go in very often.
Sure. I mean, he puts pressure. Yes. I guess he puts pressure on the rim. He's going to – if he gets 30 minutes, it's very rare you see Kuminga not walk away with, like, 18 or more.
Yeah, and he also does the Warriors can't do otherwise.
Right. He gets a rim at will.
They can't,
basically. So, I don't know. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but, you know, his absence with the knee thing – got Trace in there. They play so well with Trace. And it kind of puts them in a spot where, you know, Steve, more than anything, Steve has to read everything in real time and make quick adjustments, which has not always been his strength. He likes to have his guys, right? Like, that's his, he likes to have his guys. And this is my lineup I go to when the chips are on the table. Yeah. And that's not the roster this team is. It's just not the roster this team is. Like, Steph is that guy. Draymond is that guy. Klay's not even that guy every time now, you know?
Not anymore.
Recently he is, but it's kind of like you have Steph and Draymond, and which three of the seven guys that we love in our rotation are the ones we want to play tonight?
Do you think there is you know, you've got Sam Sources, obviously. Is there anything coming out of the team or the Bay or whatever that obviously, but whatever, a couple months ago, Kuminga had that heart to heart with Steve and, you know, started getting more minutes after that and was starting and playing well.
He bullied his way into the starting lineup.
Yeah, but now he's not starting anymore.
We have to tip our cap.
And good for him because he should have been, right? But now he's probably not starting anymore. Do you think there's any friction from that?
Like, they're in a playoff run. He came back two games ago, and Trace is playing really well. And more than anything, Kuminga's getting heavy minutes. I think what caused friction was him getting kind of rope-a-doped between one game you're in the rotation, you play well, and then the next you're not, you know?
Yeah.
If it's 20 to 30 starting or off the bench, that's okay. And also, you know how players get this time of year. They all want to play, but there's like this like collective, it's playoff time, right? There's a little less like, oh, I should be getting more touches right now. You know, that's more of a January thing. So
it's fair. He could have had all of Dario Saric's minutes today too.
Yeah. I mean, look, I get why Dario was in there. I don't disagree with the move, but it didn't pay off. So curious what people have to think about the playoffs right now. I know this game was not super, like, it didn't instill a ton of confidence
Mm-mm.
for for you to go like, okay, now I'm buying into this team. But you got every result you wanted. You got everything you needed. And you know what? Sometimes you got to win ugly and sometimes you got to move on to the next one. Guys, I want to tell you about Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose this week's menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, and Veggie. Also discover more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get a chef-prepared meal on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-go meals. Head to Factor Meals. That's factormeals.com/lightyears50 and use the promo code lightyears50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code lightyears50 at factormeals.com/lightyears50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box after that. We're going to get to the goons, guys.
Let's get it.
Hello, hello.
Ebony, what's up? I saw you getting a little concerned mid-game and ready to blame the Light Years podcast, but did we not come through?
You did. You did.
So was there an Ebony Twitter rant? Was there a little something?
Oh, I was practically in tears, man. I was like, they're going to blow it. I was too optimistic. I was ready to cry into my pillow for the rest of the fourth quarter. It was terrible. But anyways, my question is about JK. You're watching him turn the ball over, you know, for pretty much two quarters straight. And it's the most painful thing. And you got to take your hats off to him for, you know, what he did this whole season and, you know, be proud of that and, you know, look to the future with it. At the same time, you can't bench him the entire playoffs because he needs the experience. So I guess my question is, how does Kerr decide to use him in the playoffs? My thought is that, you know, towards the end of a game, if they just need someone to get to the rack, they throw him in there for like the last, you know, for maybe like 3-4 minutes in the fourth quarter, but they can't, like, his usage cannot be that high considering his turnover rate. I'd rather see like pods in those minutes, which sounds ridiculous for a rookie, but you know, the turnovers are going to kill us. But if he's going to get to the rack for the free throws and he's above 70% on those free throws, why not? So that's kind of my question in terms of what do you do with JK who can't dribble unless he's like the only, you know, the only ball handler, quote unquote.
It's a fair question. It's a good call. Appreciate you, Ebony.
Yeah.
I keep going back to my, they're going to have to play matchups. They're going to have to play matchups more than they've ever had to in the past.
It goes back to your earlier point about not having a starting or closing lineup settled on, right?
It's not 2017. You don't know that you're closing with Steph, Clay, Iguodala, KD, and Draymond, you know? And that's like the greatest closing lineup you're ever going to get. They have two guys who will close in every situation, and then six guys who are all like solid, and you got to play the matchup a little bit, right? And I see Paritosh in the chat going, "We have the perfect coach to play like that." So oh, glad, but it's fair.
Steve hasn't had to do it before. I think that Kuminga has been good enough this year that he has earned a rotation spot. In the playoffs, whether that's a rotation spot where he plays 17 minutes or 34 minutes, I think is dependent on, to her point, his turnovers and how he's playing. I do think he's earned a rotation spot, though.
Let's talk through the minutes. Let's talk through some of the matchups. Like the Pelicans, is that a team you want to go with the switch-heavy defense and a little more Kuminga, Draymond at the five.
So I think, well, Valanciunas on the offensive glass is terrifying, but I
run him off the floor.
Yeah, tends right.
To always be the Warriors
on the other side. Correct. Yeah, and so. I think you do want the bodies. And I think Kuminga is going to be part of that brigade that you're going to want to throw at Zion. And look, part of this, not so much for tomorrow, but if that is a play-in matchup, is whether BI is available or not. I think Kuminga is, because that is a young and athletic group in New Orleans. And I think you're going to need Kuminga in those matchups. Yeah.
And then, you know, looking ahead, let's say they get lucky and they play Minnesota in the playoffs. You could argue that's not a Trey series.
Yeah.
You're going to need him. But anytime you play, quote unquote, big, you're playing to Minnesota's hand. You're going to want to go the opposite way. So I think it goes both ways on matchups with them in general. I think he's going to get more than enough opportunities here. I would be shocked if Steve benched him the way he did last year. Like, well, I think he's going to be in the mix a little bit. I think you're correct.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit of a – could be 15, could be 35, depending on the match, depending on a bunch of factors, but performance being
well. So here's the thing, and this was, I think, the first part of Ebony's question was about what do you do because he's, you know, turning the ball over and he has his foibles and issues, but he needs the experience. And right, that's kind of been the question the last 2 years.
Sure.
That was also the Moses Moody question. That was the James Wiseman question, is that sometimes guy, and you probably don't want to do this in the playoffs, but it's the question of getting guys on the floor so they can get the experience to pay dividends, you know, down the road, versus are these guys helping us win now? Maybe not. So I don't know if you want to do that in the playoffs, but I do think Kuminga has earned a rotation spot.
I think in the playoffs, all that stuff goes away. It's kind of like, these are our 8 to 9 guys. And you know what? Like, if you're not performing by game 4, you're 20 minutes of games down to 5. And by game 7, you're on DNP, you know?
Yeah.
All that stuff goes out the window in the playoffs. It is what it is. It's tough. They talk about how they were inspired by the Miami Heat last year. The Miami Heat.
Yeah, Clay. I saw that Clay quote. Yeah.
Miami Heat had one series, Duncan Robinson's a hero. The next series, he's out of the rotation. It's not an easy way to play. It's tough. But if
Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent both turning into Steph for like 2.5 weeks is not going to work long term.
It takes a lot of mental toughness.
The chat is saying it's the East too, which is a good point.
It is the East. It is the New York Knicks and the Milwaukee Bucks are not the Lakers, Nuggets, whatever it may be. So anyway, Abdullah, what's up?
Hey man, how's it going?
That's good. How you doing?
I'm good. I thankfully was out, and so I missed the first half of the game, which I feel like was a gift.
You've seen it.
Yeah. So I saw the second half.
Good, like, for your mental health.
Yeah. It's still, the second half was also terrible. But honestly, I don't even know if I have a question. I wanted to take a moment. I know Looney made some cut plays towards the end of the game, but I wanted to say something that might be controversial with some people in this playback.
I want
to take a second to just highlight how much I appreciate Chris Paul, which I never thought.
Oh my God. Yes. Let's hear it.
I hated
the steady hand,
Chris Paul, Lob City Clippers more than anybody. And the only team I think I ever hated more was the Chris Paul and James Harden Houston Rockets. I absolutely hated him jawing at every referee with Doc Rivers behind him, complaining about every call. And I've made a full 180 on this guy. Like, I know if you look at the box line, you're like, he scored 8 points, but I was watching that game and every single shot he hit was like at a key moment where we like desperately needed a basket. And he picks his spots. He truly does. Like, he's like, ah, shit, we need something right here. He hits a timely basket. He makes like little Draymond-y type plays where he'll like box out a guy for like an important rebound, or he'll strip somebody. And honestly, this might seem ridiculous, but the play that really cinched it for me was against the Lakers. Do you guys remember there was like a breakaway fast break where LeBron was going to get like a dunk and Chris Paul ran and tried to foul him from behind? Like basically like a free yes, safety trying to tackle him. And he's so old, he couldn't catch him. He just fell right on his face. And I was like, honestly, greatest moment of the season. I was like, he was just straight up trying to tackle LeBron to stop him from getting a breakaway dunk. And I was like, there was another moment in that game where he's been so great at executing end of quarters, making sure we don't fuck it up like we did so much last year. And he hit a like mid-range jumper when Trace ran like to do a screen for him. And Trace came and gave the screen a couple seconds too early. And so he went for it and he hit a jumper with like 4 seconds left. And I could see him on the court telling Trace, like, you set that screen too early. Like now we gave them another possession. And I just keep watching Trace and Pods and all these guys in their rookie year, like playing amazing. And I'm like, we have to give him credit. Like I see him constantly talking to those guys. And like, again, never thought I'd get there, but that's where I'm at with Chris Paul. That's all I wanted to say.
That's a great call. And you know what? I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you the whole way.
I'm gritting my teeth, but yes.
I mean, look, did the Warriors need a 5'11 point guard last offseason? Probably not.
No. Yeah.
Did they need a 39-year-old last offseason? Probably not. But they did need a fucking adult. They did need someone who could absolutely stay, help the bench unit, solidify it. And you know what?
Calm the turnovers down.
Guy's first ballot Hall of Famer. You know he wasn't happy to come here and be Steph's backup. I know he started a decent amount, but like he is ultimately the backup point guard. Not a peep. Just the ultimate pro. So even if it's just 1 year, like you got to appreciate it because just think about all the drama this year's produced. Like Wiggins, where are you mentally, physically, whatever it may be, right? Mm-hmm. Draymond, definitely don't need to go down that road. Right. That's a different thing. Clay, I mean, Clay went through a lot of it this year where at times I was like, this is really ugly to watch. He's like punching chairs, doing all that sort of thing. And Chris Paul was kind of that, the mature one. Kuminga. Up the whole, yeah, exactly. Kuminga.
I need to be playing more, yeah.
Exactly. Chris Paul was Mr. Maturity in that mix. So, you know, when you look at it, like, I get why people love him. I get why every team he's been on, people have been like, oh, he changed the culture here. Like, just a pro. Pro's pro. Knows, just makes guys better.
Absolutely. And what I would say is for the holdouts who still don't like Chris Paul, yes, he's been helpful this season, but whatever trade we're going to do in the offseason, his contract's going to be like pivotal to that most likely. So I feel like Chris Paul will be the gift that keeps on giving, hopefully in the offseason.
So I came to terms with this in the past offseason. Here for all the light years listeners here in playback and on the pod, here's how you process this. The point is you root for the Warriors to win a title. And then you still get to say Chris Paul couldn't win without Steph. So you still get to keep it.
It's a win-win.
Right. Yeah, it's a great thing.
Once the Warriors won in 2022, no one can say shit to them. No one can say you needed KD. I see four
one before
for these
you,
dudes.
One after you.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't. LeBron can come here and no one's going to be like, they needed LeBron to win. And in his case, it would just be like, you know, it is what it is. They're both made men on both sides. But it's like, there's nothing you can really say about these guys in any other capacity. It's just about winning at this point. The narratives are dead. Get number one Chris Paul fan Gio up here on the call tonight.
All right.
So disgusted by this whole Chris Paul. So I'm sorry. Chris Paul stinks. He sucks. Chris Paul can go right in hell, bro. He's a horrible player, basketball player. Honestly, this is disgusting.
Like, anyway. This is no wrong opinion. Go away.
Really wrong opinion. I'm sorry. Like I have some pride here, bro. I mean, it's Chris Paul. Anyways, like I was gonna say, bro. Okay, like How much would you guys be willing to pay JK like next summer? Like,
as an extension? Ooh. Are you talking about this coming summer or the following one?
Well, because like, okay.
This is extension summer, but yes, yeah, but next contract, what are you willing to give him right now? Is that's the question?
Yes, but also my point is like, you didn't trade him because you thought he was like the future. So if you're not going to pay him, like, then why is he on the team? Like, that's my question. Like Pascal is not here because of JK. OG's not because of JK. Like, if they're not going to extend him this summer, like, why is he here? Which is like my point.
I think they will extend him, whether you like it or not. And the real question, well, to be fair, they could technically trade him before extension, because early extensions are always in like October. That's
called the Jordan Poole, before the extension kicks in.
Yeah.
No, the opposite.
Before you have to extend him. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. So what do you think? What do you think JK is going to get? Because
I think this is really interesting, because which is why I asked.
He's not a max guy.
Do you mean this summer or next summer? Because yes, this is when the extension next summer is when the extension could be negotiated. I think the Warriors probably say whatever it was in the back half of this season, we want to see it again. I think they're going to make him prove it again, because they have the hammer of restricted free agency. So, he's not going to get away without.
So you don't think they're going to pull a pool?
I don't think they extend him this summer. I think they are going to make JK prove it again. What do I think he's worth? I think he's worth around Draymond money, 400, 410.
So Jaden McDaniels money. Because I'm just trying to think of guys who signed early extensions, and Jaden McDaniels took a 5-year deal, which was, I want to say, 130.
Well, also, to be fair, the cap has gone up some since then, so maybe a little bit more. Yeah. But yeah, I think 4 years, 100 to 120 is somewhere in there.
Wiggins money.
Here's my thing, though, right? Like, because Slater was like saying that they're trying to cut money, get under the apron, right? And like, you can't really improve the team if you go under the tax. So like,
of course you can.
If you don't, who's good that you can get.
This is the most bloated payroll in the NBA. Like they literally just.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you
the best way for this roster,
non-guarantee CP3, and then Clay makes what. Clay makes half of what he makes now, then you're going to have some exception money that you can play with that the Warriors have not.
I'm not even talking about that. Like, literally find an actual star player versus max worth maxing. Mm. And then you have Steph, you have a second star, and you can fill out your roster in a way that doesn't have you having the world's most expensive payroll with dudes who, I don't want to say they're not worth it, but they're not worth it. So
I mean, like, you can't have the most expensive payroll of all time and be the 9 seed or the 8 seed,
and be like, it was worth it, right? Exactly. Like, no one looks at that and just like, well, we definitely got what we paid for. If that was the case, like, Chris Paul, not a $30 million player. Klay Thompson, love him to death, not a $45 million player, and he will not be one next year,
right?
Wiggins, maybe. The 27 million. I don't know.
I mean, but again,
my point is they have a lot of expensive depth instead of, like, you can look at the Lakers and they have their own issues, but their max guys are max guys. And then it's a question of
production from them. Yes.
Yeah. And that's how most teams are constructed. They have a couple max guys, and then you're hoping to be smart around that instead of like buying everything.
Just if CP3, look, and the Warriors could decide to bring CP3 back at a discount. They could decide to guarantee whatever portion of his contract they need for a trade. All of these things are possible. But if you just let CP3 go and Clay makes half of what he makes now, which seems about fair, you've just cut $52-55 million off of your payroll right there, which will give you access to team building avenues that the Warriors do not have at present.
I understand Gio's question. I just don't believe a word of anything the team says. Like,
there you go.
That's my biggest fear, honestly, because you heard the Glenn Taylor like news, right? Like this, like today, right?
Yeah, with A-Rod. Yeah,
Glenn's a clown. So
yes,
all I'm saying is like if Towns available, like I don't know, bro. Like go for it. Like that's my take.
Maybe that's the move. Maybe that is the move. Appreciate you.
Wait, here's the problem with that though, is that if they're going to trade him, it's going to be to dump salary. And the Warriors do not have the ability to take him on without giving back matching salary to the T-Wolves.
They can give him a lot of expiring contracts, though. So.
Yeah, no, you're right. But what I'm saying is this coming season is where the bill starts coming due for the Timberwolves.
Sure. I say we just wrap it right there.
All right.
Aaron, I always appreciate you. You have a good evening.